Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 45. 45, woo! And I am joined today by Mellified and Alien Pickle, and I guess my name's Table for Two, if I haven't already said. And it's good to have these guys with me. How y'all doing today?
I am doing delightful. It is a windy day here outside, but inside it's nice and warm. Lots of games to play, lots of games to talk about.
Jim, are you guys expected to get a lot of snow soon, or is that
Yeah, it's like Spectrum sent me a email yesterday, like, hey, we're going to have this winter storm, and, you know, if your internet goes out, like, you know, we're already aware, don't bother calling.
You know what's super weird is I've moved back to Ohio, and, you know, I spent the last, well, I had spent 6 years living in North Carolina, and the winters in North Carolina were pretty, like, lame compared to my experience in Ohio, right? And
yeah, but they're always more dramatic because you get like a little bit of snow and everybody's like, oh my god, we're gonna die.
Right. Yeah. True. So here's the goofy thing about where I'm at right now. So back in Ohio, back in my old stomping grounds and whatnot, and we've had enough snow to last for less than a day. And Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina are all getting, and you know, things east of us, everything's getting slammed with snow and ice, and we've had, like, the mildest winter I think I've ever experienced. Like, we're mid-January, and it's, like, nothing. So I've got, like, serious concerns for what February and March might offer, and if the winter's going to be this mild, it's going to be a terrible summer. Like, terrible. So...
Oh, something, man, to look forward to.
yeah. But besides all that, it is a decent cool day. It's a great day to be indoors playing video games. And during the holidays, you know, we definitely had a bit of a hiatus. I played a little bit of I picked up a few things. Haven't really got a chance to start playing them, but I've eventually picked up Jurassic World Evolution 2. I'm looking forward to diving into that a little bit.
Is it, have you messed with it at all? Like, I'm curious if it's remarkably better than the first one.
I have not touched it yet, but I do.
I played the first, like, three missions of it, and I thought it was very similar to the first one, maybe a little more polished, you know, but it didn't strike me as revolutionary in any sense.
Yeah. Because to me, it's like, with the holidays, right, I picked up all the missing DLC for the first one, so I've got the whole wad of it now. And then, well, it's like, okay, now the second one's out. Right, so do I want to just, like, back out all that DLC? I feel like new game should have all the content of the previous game and then continue to expand rather than, you know, oh, okay, well, we paired it back to, like, 10 dinosaurs, so you got to rebuy all the ones that you did. It's like, yeah, I mean, nah.
Yeah, I think Hitman, the recent Hitman games have done that, where the second game,
excellent,
you could, yeah, import all the DLC, all the levels, and they even upgraded them a little bit, so it was kind of a neat approach.
Yeah,
that seems fairly uncommon, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a really fun approach. I just haven't had a chance to really dive into Jurassic World 2 yet to kind of see. I liked what they were doing with Jurassic World 1. I felt that it was, as a park simulator game, it was very light on the, other than the dinosaur stuff, I felt like the actual, like, managing the park felt very minimal. So I don't know how that compares to 2 yet.
Well, I don't know if they're making anybody happy with that mix, right? Because it's like, hey, people that are here that want, like, a theme park management thing aren't getting it. And people that just want, like, a dinosaur ecosystem simulator thing aren't getting that either. So I'm surprised that they didn't, like, double it down in one or the other.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like I said, I need to dive into it and find out for myself. But I also picked up the Legendary Edition of the Mass Effect stuff, which I was initially against because I hated the idea that somewhere along the way they had corrupt source files for some of their DLC and there was, like, no backup. So, like, some of the content. Now, granted, I get that that content really doesn't make a difference in the grand scheme.
It was the worst DLC of the whole entire series. Like, so it's not
I get that, but as a preservationist, I guess I should say, I was a little disappointed from that perspective.
I can see that.
But I am looking forward to diving into it. I usually, when I do a Mass Effect replay, I usually skip Mass Effect 1 entirely and just start with 2, because 2 and 3 I had the most fun playing. Especially 2. I love 2. I think 2 is such a perfect sci-fi RPG. And it's like one of those RPGs that I actually managed to finish. The whole series itself, I was able to actually finish.
Sign of a truly remarkable game if somebody finished it.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Not even kidding.
Well, I mean, like seriously, when you look at like other RPGs that are out there, for someone who enjoys RPGs but has a hard time struggling to finish them through, and I even also played through all of Andromeda. So, like, and Andromeda was nowhere near the kind of quality that the first three were. So, if that says anything.
I just wish it was 500 hours long, though.
Dying Light 2.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. That's what we need. Although, I mean, if you took all three of them, how many hours is that?
A lot.
For all three Mass Effect. It's quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. So, I also have the PixArk or the Pix, whatever it's called, versions of all the Final Fantasy games that they just recently redid for
the Pixel remasters. Yeah.
So I think Final Fantasy VI is supposed to re-release this month at some point, if it hasn't already. I think they said that they were gonna finally get that one out the door, but I am looking forward to it, because 6, of all the Final Fantasies, I've never beaten a single Final Fantasy. But I got really far in 8, and I loved 6. I thought 6 was a lot of fun. But, like, most of them had a hard time holding my attention. Kind of like, you know, the Fallout games. Like, the Fallout games interest me, and they intrigue me, and I'm fascinated by what's going on. But they have such a hard time holding my attention for long periods of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely picked up some stuff. I went back through and I was playing a good bit of Star Trek Online over the break. It was just kind of like a good. I really took the opportunity for my holiday season not really to play as much as I would have liked to, but more relax.
You took a break from recreation.
Yeah, I mean, I took a break from all of it. I got caught up on series, right? So, like, I watched a lot of stuff. You know, I watched movies and TV shows, and I got caught up on all that kind of stuff. Which felt nice, you know? What about you guys? What have y'all been playing? I feel like Malifite's probably been the one playing the most games out of all of us.
I have been playing Slipstream? God damn it, now I need to go look. It is a very lightweight sort of 4X game in space where you are, you have a bunch of planets, and those planets can be connected, slipways. They can be connected by one, warp path. And so it has strategy where each different planet you have to decide what to manufacture on that planet, and different things that you manufacture have different inputs, and so you're connecting all these different planets together to build a network of resources. And then,
oh my god, it's Railroad Tycoon in space.
Yeah, I mean, but it's very, very fast paced. Like, it feels good in that sense, right? You're not getting bogged down in a 200-hour for one game, right? It is an hour or two to right. finish a mission. So I really struggled with the campaign on it at first, and I even on the easiest difficulty, and I finally, like, sort of got it and was able to start beating some of these missions.
So is that just really, like a logistics puzzle for the most part?
It is, but you have research. You have different factions that give you different abilities that you wouldn't have otherwise. As you connect more and more and more planets together, they level up the planets, and that unlocks some new things that you can do. You can even research ways to like jump the warp gates across each other, because normally you can't cross the streams. So that's one of the mid game tacks that you can get, is to actually be able to cross the streams, which opens up more possibilities for your logistics. But like I say, I just like the fast pace. I can sit down, play a game, burn an hour or so, and feel like I accomplished something. So I really enjoyed that one. And it's not expensive. I think it's like less than $20 on Steam. I'm pulling it up now to double check. Yeah.
As usual, I've always been trying to tell people to keep their eyes out on certain websites. So like, keep your eyes out on Epic. Keep your eyes out on Xbox.com if you have an Xbox, and PlayStation as well, and Twitch pages, because they're always putting out free games for those different people that subscribe to those channels. So like through February 2nd, I think on Twitch Prime with Twitch gaming stuff, you can get Jedi Fallen Order for free, as well as Warhammer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Warhammer Total War, and another big one for free as well.
I didn't think Jedi Fallen Order was old enough to be a giveaway.
Well, they did a slew of Star Wars things, right? So like in December they had Squadrons was free, and something else, I think. So
yeah, Star Wars, you can't even give that away anymore. Well, thanks, Disney.
Yeah.
Well,
and currently on Xbox's website right now, as the recording of this today on January 15th, of course, by the time this comes out, it won't be relevant, but Tropico 5 and Radiant Silver Gun are available for games with gold. So by the time this comes out, there's probably gonna be some new games.
Ooh, wait a minute. So that's on Xbox right now?
Yep.
Radiant Silver Gun?
Yes, sir.
All right. So that's a thing. So if you're an Ikaruga fan, Radiant Silver Gun is the original Ikaruga. So go now.
Well, if you're listening to this,
except they're
going to
miss
it.
Yeah. Well, sorry, you missed it.
Well, you can still buy it. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, I just didn't realize it was even on the platform. That's pretty rad.
Yeah, it is on. It came out, I guess, on the Xbox 360, so they're making it available now. So, grab it while it's hot.
See, I thought that was like Dreamcast only, like back in the day. Was it Dreamcast or was Sega Saturn or something? It was like way back. Way back.
Radiant Silver Gun?
I think it was Dreamcast exclusive back in
Sega land. Saturn, yep. You're right. Look at that.
Saturn. Yep, there you go.
What a thing.
Yep.
So there it is. But yeah. Totes the goats.
Yeah, they need to give Panzer Dragoon Ordo away for free, too. Get more people to play that.
Can't go wrong with that one. It's a good one.
That was a good time. It was mildly Japanese.
mildly. Yeah, I'm trying to think, too, if there was other games that I played. I did take a dive into, because they finally released it. But Star Trek Armada 1 and 2 on GOG. So I dove into Star Trek Armada 2 briefly, just to kind of see how it was functioning. And right out of the bag, it worked just fine. So I was really impressed by that one.
Did you download and check out that modded version of Armada 2?
Not yet.
I sent you a link.
No,
because
it's on my list.
Way better than the base. Because then, since the GOG one came out, and I could go back and play it, and I was playing around with that, I was just like, "Wow, this is kind of sucks." And like, went back and played the modded one, and it was just like, "Whoa, man, this mod did things, really, really good things."
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out. I also played a good bit of, I dove into, oddly enough, for whatever reason, Lego Harry Potter 1. So it's got years 1 through 4 of the Harry Potter world or whatever it is. Lego games have some kind of just like weird, like just chill like to them where, you know, you don't have to have, it's not too crazy. It's not too stressful, but I mean, you're still, it's still activating the brain cause you're solving puzzles and stuff like that, but it's just very relaxing. And then I also was playing a lot of Death Stranding. So I got myself into Death Stranding a little, not too deep yet. Not gym levels of deep, but
yeah, well, it was the right game at the right time back then, you know. It was just like, cause it was a chill game and it was a do it at your own pace kind of thing. And it was a lot of the exploration stuff, you know, cause it's like, that's why I play Skyrim. It's just like, I don't follow the campaign. I just wander around and see what I stumble across. And that game was very much that. It was like, I have to get to that end of the map somehow, but I get to figure out how to do it. And the way I chose to do it was to build the highway, which was like the hardest damn thing.
Oh, shoot. Is God of War now available on Steam?
Yeah, it came out this week. I played it last night, about an hour or two. And I mean, it is a gorgeous port. It has DLSS support. It has Fidelity FX support. So you can get the best graphics without burning up your GPU. It looks good. It plays smooth. Great frame rate. And I was just super, super impressed with it. Unfortunately, the other recent PC port that I played, Serious Sam 4, was garbage. Just hot, hot garbage. Frame rate kitches and drops and all sorts of problems with it. And apparently it's pretty common issues to the game for people, which you'd think Serious Sam was never about the tech. It was about the gameplay. And yet somehow they screwed up the last sequel. I don't understand how that happened, but it's really unfortunate.
That's weird. Like, because their engine was always a pretty performant thing, so I guess, yeah,
weird. Huh. Joke's on me. I actually have a God of War key in my inventory.
How did that happen to you?
I guess I got it on Green Man Gaming way back when, and I just now looked to see, and I have a key there for it, and so I just activated it on my account, so.
Oh, there you cool. go.
I just did it live/recorded.
I played Far Cry 6 quite a bit. I got frustrated with Ubisoft because they broke the game in late October. And it took 3 or 4 weeks for them to fix it. Basically, whenever you fast traveled, it would crash the game. And the map's so huge, like not fast traveling isn't really a good option. I have tried to go back and play it a little bit more and have enjoyed it. But it definitely hasn't hooked me like some of the other Far Cry games. Like I played through 5, like nobody's business, all the way through. So I've been a little less impressed with 6, unfortunately.
Well, speaking of Far Cry, though, I did pick up Far Cry New Dawn. I have yet to play through that one, and I've heard nothing but good things because it's a direct sequel to 5.
Yep.
And I loved
it. It was okay. I got kind of bored with it.
Well, maybe it's because you weren't playing co-op.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is, like, if we co-op it, it'll be better.
Always is. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's what was so fun about 5 was playing a co-op. That's what I think.
Yeah, so
you know, drove me to play 6, it more.
So with 6, is it more of that kind of like what I've heard? You know, it's just like, okay, it's Far Cry 5, but now in a Hispanic environment instead. And
like, they've added some other systems to it, but none of them are. You know, super game changers, right? It's very much the same feel overall. So I don't think that they've revolutionized it. It's just an evolution. One of the things a lot of people were excited about with it was the DLC is actually bringing back the bad guys from 3, 4, and 5. So you do like a limited mission against the past bad guys. But
oh, I thought you got to play as pagan men and stuff.
No, no, you're just like going and beating up on them in a special mission type of thing.
Oh.
So
what they need to do is they need a crossover, like Lo Wang comes over.
There's a few things they could do. I mean, Far Cry has always been kind of wacky, so they could pull it
it's
off.
Better, it's better to have Lo Wang in Far Cry than to have Doctor Who and Eve, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, no argument there.
I still can't freaking... I don't...
I played a game called Banners of Ruin, which is a weird animal deck builder kind of thing. I'll post the link to the Steam here. You have different classes, so like bears, wolves, ferrets, rats, or mice, and they have different... That's basically like different abilities. Beavers, I think, is one of them. And you play on kind of a basic, you know, front row, back row, and they have different attacks and stuff, but it's all about each weapon and armor and stuff gives you different cards to play. And so you play different cards to make the different creatures attack. And there's a, you know, basic story tying it all together, but the strategy of it was pretty fun. I enjoyed that for the time that I played it. I haven't gotten back to it though, so maybe that tells you something. I played it for a few days.
Yeah, I find like a lot of games, I like the idea of the game, but not the game.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
Maybe that's why people are like serial consumers of games, because it's like, oh, we really love the idea of what this was. Unfortunately, it wasn't what we had in mind.
Yeah, so sometimes it's not executed well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'll buy the next thing that seems like it might scratch the itch.
I played through one of my all-time favorite games, Transistor, again, which I very, very rarely do. But I don't remember what system I originally played it on, but it had a New Game Plus mode where you basically kept all of your abilities and you can get like a second version of them. It was even stronger. And I always wanted to like go back and play with that. And so I had to beat the game again. Now I'm at the point where I can do the New Game Plus, but now I didn't actually go into the New Game Plus yet. I still have to do that.
Yeah, I still didn't even play through Transistor. I was really liking what I was playing. There's a lot of those kind of pixely style games, or close to being pixely style games, retro in nature, that I really do like. Another one that I really liked too was the kind of Blade Runner-esque like delivery service game. God, what was that thing called?
Oh,
Cloudpunk, I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was really digging that too. And when they put in first person mode for that game, it changed that game dramatically. So I'm in on those kinds of games for sure.
Need Cloudpunk VR.
I bet you it might exist.
That'd be interesting. Oh. Let's see, what other good ones? I played Neurodeck, which is a game, another card game, because I was on kind of a kick for card games. But in this one, it's like all of your psychological symptoms are cards, and so you have to like beat the AI, but the AI monster is depression or something like that. It was weird... Go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, if your neurological symptoms are cards, it's like, am I limited to 52, or I have my full assortment?
Yeah, it's kind of like, and it's a roguelite, so you're basically living your life, and then you have to beat down depression, and then you play again, and now you've got agoraphobia or something, and you have to like get the right deck of cards by playing the game and making choices to
what's it called? Depression Quest.
Yes, yes. No, Neuro Deck.
Oh,
is the name of it. So
sorry.
It was interesting. I mean, I spent a fair bit of time with it just because each psychological symptom was very different in terms of the gameplay, so it was kind of challenging to get through them all. But I put about 10 hours in that one and enjoyed it. I'm not sure I'll spend much more with it. But.
It sounds like if Zoe had actually bolted a game onto her game,
then,
you know.
What a concept.
Yes.
Hey, so
speaking of card games.
Well, hold on. Sorry to interject real quick. I mentioned Green Man Gaming earlier with God of War. As of right now, there is a 15% off sale going on with God of War on Green Man Gaming.
Really? Because last night there wasn't. So I'm surprised.
There's also a 12% off for like Horizon Zero Dawn and Days Gone, Predator Hunting Ground, whatever, Death Stranding. Like all of these games right now have a percentage off. Detroit Become Human's like 20% off at the moment. So just throwing that out there. If you guys are looking for deals on games, be sure to check out Green Man Gaming. We're not being sponsored by them, but like they should.
No, I was going to grab God of War, so I'm glad you found that because that saved me a couple bucks.
Anyway, keep going. You were talking about a card game.
I was wrapping up with Neuro Deck. No, yeah,
I was going to ask if you played Inscription yet, because
I have
the Ace card game.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, and the progression across deaths is interesting with it, where you're unlocking stuff in this cabin, and the creepy dude across the table from you who's forcing you to do this, you're kind of like secretly trying to do stuff to overthrow him or whatever. It reminds me a lot of another one that was, oh my gosh, what the hell was the name of it?
Hand of Fate.
Yes, thank you. Hand of Fate. It reminds me a lot of Hand of Fate and Hand of Fate 2.
See, I'm good at these trivia games.
I'm you. No, you like, nailed it.
It reminds me of. It's like whip out the answer. So that reminds me, right? Like on Wheel of Fortune, how do people suck so bad? Right? Like there's like two letters left and they can't guess it. Or like they'll buy a vowel when there's clearly like a double T in the middle of the word. And it's like, dude, you could like make double the money. Like,
right.
I don't know. That's why I can't watch game shows on TV. Triggered.
Another one I played that I don't know that I would recommend, although it was very interesting. Square Enix did a card game called Voice of Cards, The Isle Dragon Roars, which fits the Japanese need to have 18 words in the title of the game, apparently.
did it come out with like Turbo World Edition afterwards?
That's coming still. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of Hand of Fate in the way that you traverse the world. You like reveal cards as you move around, and those cards have different events and stuff. But it also has combat, which is also card based. And they really were trying to tell a story, and I wish the story was more interesting and engaging because there's a lot of it, and I just got bored of the story. The game was fun, but I didn't want to sit through all the narrative stuff, which, given it's Square Enix, probably shouldn't be a huge surprise, but that was an interesting one. I beat a game called Bloodshore, which is a full motion video game from Wales Interactive. That's kind of their like niche. It is basically a future where there is a TV show that is real life Fortnite. They literally drop people onto an island and they have to fight to the death.
Why hasn't that actual TV show been made, Netflix? I mean, they've got Squid Game. How did they not do Fortnite game?
Yeah, it wasn't great, and I played it, I beat it, I did all the achievements, but gosh, it's frustrating because these games are excellent or terrible based on how well they branch the story. And I felt like this one, they got a little lazy about reusing footage and things, where it felt like the paths kind of always led you back to the same place. And sometimes it didn't even make sense that it led you back to the same place. It was just like they got lazy about the filming or didn't have enough footage to do, you know, the story justice or something. That said, I enjoyed it. Like, I, you know, it was worth playing through. It's not a huge game. I think I spent, it says 26 hours here on my my Exophase profile, but worth checking out. Some of the characters were kind of fun because they did all these different stereotype type characters, and so I enjoyed that.
Nice. Well, are there any games that you guys are looking forward to coming out this year in 2022? Like, what's on your looking forward to list?
My backlog? Honestly, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to what's coming out because I just feel like I have so many games I haven't played that I want to play.
Yeah.
I guess I need to, like, pull up a best of, you know, what's coming in 2022.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward. Well, I guess here's one. I'm looking forward to finishing up the campaign for Halo Infinite. I think I'm gonna look forward to starting up playing through God of War. One of the things I think of in terms of, you know, people talk about New Year's resolutions, in terms of my New Year's resolutions for gaming, is I would love to sit through and play through a couple of single player games all the way through. I've definitely been focused, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I've definitely been focused on, like, the multiplayer cooperative or online kind of multiplayer stuff or collaborative multiplayer stuff, which I still enjoy doing. But I mean, there are games, like, I've had Death Stranding and Horizon Zero Dawn for, like, over a year now, it feels like, and I have yet to play through and finish them. I've had Skyrim for 1,000 years and I still haven't finished it, you know? It's not that I'm trying to force myself to, I actually want to finish them. So
yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I got some bad news for you, my friend. Both Starfield, the Bethesda, sci-fi RPG that is allegedly similar to Skyrim and Fallout, is coming out this year. As well as the next Skyrim, which is Redfall. I didn't realize, I thought those were coming in. I knew they were coming. I didn't realize they were both coming in 2022. That seems crazy early.
I thought the next Elder Scrolls game was further out than that. Because, like, the last time we saw anything was a screenshot from, like, E3 2 years ago. And we haven't heard anything since. And all of a sudden, I'm
looking at a list from CNET of the biggest games coming in 2022, and they list Redfall as a release date of this summer. And they have Starfield in November.
Well, don't hold your breath.
So, if it's accurate, who knows? But it may get delayed. But it's still, like, that seems, crazy to me. That they'd be that close. A couple other highlights this year. There's Pokemon Legends Arceus, a new Pokemon game, which is kind of interesting. Rainbow Six Extraction. I do not have high hopes for that, but hopefully it'll surprise
me. I was intrigued by what they were like. At first, I thought it looked terrible, but then when I started seeing some more stuff about it, I was kind of interested in it conceptually. But now I think I'm back to not really. So,
Horizon Forbidden West, which is the PlayStation exclusive series, the original is out on PC now, and I'm assuming this one will come to PC eventually. But I did not like the stealth gameplay in it. I don't like stealth games in general, forced stealth, so it didn't grab me like it did a lot of people, I guess.
Is that new Ratchet and Clank game on the PS4?
No.
That's a
PS5. That is one of the few PS5 exclusives at this point. I think it's the only PS5 exclusive. Really? Because all the other ones are either on PC or they're on PS4 at this point.
Yeah, Rift Apart, exclusive PS5. Oh my god. Well, I was going to say, at some point this year, I'm supposedly getting a PS4, and I'm really looking forward to, I'm really looking forward, because the Ratchet & Clank games have always, it's those games and, like, the Jak and Daxters, right? Like, those things have always appealed to me, because I like those style of games. I, not that I have a problem with Spider-Man, but I'm just not, I'm not interested in playing it. And so there's a few exclusives on the PlayStation side that I would love to play, or at least, you know, I've had very little success with the PS Now stuff, but, maybe in the future, but
yeah, well, I think I have it sitting in my family room. I have to get into it and hook it up and, reformat it, but I do have one to send you, so I will try and get that out here soon. I've just been it. I keep forgetting about it, honestly. Elden Ring is another one that's coming out in late February. That's kind of an open world Dark Souls with lore written by George R. R. Martin.
I have zero expectations for this game, honestly. I feel like there's too many high, like, praise names attached to it that the game's probably not going to be as great as everyone's thinking it is.
I just feel like it's going to be yet another Souls-like game, but open world this time.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't like Souls-like games. I don't like punishing difficulty, generally, so...
Yeah, I hate it, too, as I'm playing Monster Hunter right
now. Yeah, well, and Ready or Not, the first-person shooter that I was going to mention that we played a little bit of, it is a very, very tactical game, and it is really hard as a result. Like, you really struggle. We were really struggling to get through some of those missions. But I enjoyed the hell out of it, so I don't know. Maybe I would enjoy Dark Souls more if I...
Have you played the other tactical shooter? I can't remember the name of it. It's almost the same game, though, but better. Sushi and I were playing it one night. And in fact, I think we all played it. Yeah, because Hunter and I. It's called what?
Insurrection or something? Wasn't that? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, it's. I can't think of the name of the damn thing.
0 Hour.
0 Hour. Thank you. I played a little bit of a mission in Ready or Not, and I was just like, wow, 0 Hour is like way further along than this. Although, they're kind of like trying to be the same game, I feel. But it seems like Ready or Not's getting all the press and 0 Hour isn't getting talked about for some reason. It's like they need a good stinky controversy or something.
One of the things that we ran into with playing Ready or Not was there was a particular mission that we were playing where as soon as we spawned in, there was a dude standing on a hill right in front of us and just mowed us all down. And I was like, wait a second, you're telling me as a SWAT team, we would have just gotten out of the van like right here in front of this motherfucker? Like... This is a terrible, like, whoever thought that spawn point, like, I get maybe it was for, like, a challenging thing, but if you're trying to do a tactical, realistic game, that's stupidly unrealistic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's so, like, haha, gotcha.
I feel like it may have just been a bad spawn, like,
you know, it happened all
randomized. Well, but it didn't happen every time, is my point. It was random. Sure. So I'm just wondering if they just didn't play test it enough or something and missed the fact that was a stupid spawn point. Gran Turismo 7 is coming out. I'm perfectly happy with Forza. I haven't finished Forza 4, let alone 5, so I don't really care about
I have zero interest in Gran Turismo. It's been so long, and Forza's been just a force in the industry for so long. I'm not saying necessarily that Forza is actually better or not than Gran Turismo, but I've just got so much more invested time in one over the other that it's just like...
Gran Turismo is going to only be PlayStation, I'm sure. Yep. Like, there's no way that's coming to PC.
But, however, the point I'm trying to make, though, is, you know, just like...
Well, it'll be interesting. I think Gran Turismo goes up against Forza Motorsport a lot more than Forza Horizon.
Yeah.
In terms of, it's a track racing game, so...
And it's also the only option the Untouchables have.
That's true. Yes, the PlayStation crowd, that's the only one they get. Tiny Tina Wonderlands, or Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, the next Borderland game. Okay, you know, kind of interesting. It's like a weird fantasy RPG version of Borderlands. Some big name voice talent attached to it. Will Arnett, Wanda Sykes, Andy Samberg are all doing voices, so that might be good. Forspoken? I don't remember this one. This doesn't ring a bell at all. It looks, oh, it's because it's a PS5 exclusive, that's why. Woman living in New York who one day finds herself transported to a distant and unknown magical land. So that one might be. That's coming out in May. The new Saints Row reboot is August 22nd. I loved the Saints Row series. I've played through all of them, most of them to completion. And I am. I don't know. This one looks weird to me. They just did a complete reboot of it. It's like the only reason it's called Saints Row is for the name association, because it has nothing to do with the past Saints Row games, it seems like.
That's weird.
So I'm wondering about that Tiny Tina thing that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a Borderlands thing. Is it going to be all guns and stuff, or are they actually going to go swords and spells and whatever fantasy, like do it full up? Because I want the D&D version of Borderlands, really.
Yeah, it's based on the Tiny Tina Assault on Dragon's Keep DLC that was in Borderlands 2, which I never played, so I don't have any more specifics for you, unfortunately. I don't know how that looked.
Well, I mean, it was still Borderlands. It was just like, oh, we're in a castle with all the D&D stuff, right? Like there's skeletons and orcs and whatever, but we're still using Borderlands guns.
Ah, okay.
I'm just thinking, like, hey, if they did it with like swords with stats on them instead of guns, I would mm-hmm. be much more down.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mentioned Starfield, the Skyrim in space is coming in November. The next God of War game, Ragnarok, is scheduled for 2022 currently. We don't have a date though, and that'll be a PS4 and PS5 exclusive. And will certainly be coming to PC at some point is the assumption. Nintendo's got a couple things on the list. Kirby and the Forgotten Land is coming out in the spring. They also have the next Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 is supposed to be coming out in 2022, although there's no date.
I heard Kirby got that. Taken down for like a DMCA copyright strike because he like cloned all of the enemies.
Maybe so. Sonic Frontiers, which got a surprise trailer at the 2021 Game Awards, is set for a holiday 2022 release, so late in the year. I didn't know that we still needed more Sonic games, although the last 2D one was pretty good. I didn't care for the 3D stuff, but... Lord of the Rings Gollum, the game we didn't know we needed, is scheduled for 2022.
Yay.
Hogwarts Legacy is another one that is set in the 19th century before Voldemort shows up. So you get to explore more of the Hogwarts setting, I guess, or the Harry Potter setting. And then, actually, one I am excited about is Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. The original Mario plus Rabbids is kind of a weird strategy game but you play with Mario characters, and then the clone of those Mario characters who have been like copied by the Rabbids, the Ubisoft bunny characters. So it had some surprisingly deep strategy when you played it. Some people said it was a little more like a puzzle game than a strategy game, although I disagreed myself, but I played through the whole thing on the Switch when it came out, and so the sequel I'm excited about for that. So those are some of the new things coming in 2022 that look interesting. I did play through Terminator Resistance this holiday. This was the game that came out, 2019, and it has you as one of the freedom fighters in the Terminator future after Skynet has started to wipe out humanity or trying to wipe out humanity.
Yeah, did you play the Play as a Terminator DLC?
I did not, nor did I play the new DLC that just came out for it, although that's what kind of reminded me to go back and play it. And I enjoyed playing through the campaign. I'll have to go back and do the DLC at some point, but I was kind of ready to take a break after getting through the normal campaign. It was about 10 hours. So
yeah, that game just felt kind of clunky to me.
They did patch it, and I think that helped quite a bit. If I remember correctly, they did like a 2.0 version that cleaned up some of the jank. I thought it was, you know, very playable going through it. I also played a little bit of Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1, which is the prequel to the recent Sherlock Holmes. There's been two Sherlock Holmes games in the last few years that are first person style. You know, you play as, or third person style, you play as Sherlock Holmes, and you have to solve mysteries by collecting clues and connecting the clues correctly. And you can come to the wrong conclusion or the right conclusion, and there's some story impact from doing that. I got, you know, 5 or 6 hours into it, and I got to this weird, like, open world mode where you actually had to run around the town and, like, unlock fast travel points so that you could then go back to those places to find stuff and do mysteries, and that didn't do it for me, I guess. I felt like it was a little too busy work feeling, but the first couple of cases I did were actually interesting, so that one certainly maybe I can get over the open world side of it and enjoy the rest of it. Last but not least for me, I put about 20 hours into a game called Raiders Forsaken Earth. It is a post-apocalyptic management game where you play the leader of the settlement. You have to recruit people. You basically go raiding caravans or make friends with them. You can raid different settlements or make friends with them, but the ultimate goal is to take over the map, the world, and deal with all the different factions however you please. It had some interesting itemization. There were some kind of creative, fun things that you could put on your characters, but you had to manage each of the 20 characters you get up to individually, which got sort of tedious. And it also felt like I hit a point where I wasn't strong enough to take down the settlements, which was kind of what you needed to do to advance the game. But I was at the max capacity for my squad. So like, I couldn't figure out how to sort of get over that hump of actually capturing a settlement. So I need to probably give it another try and see what I can do with it. But it was interesting for sure. And that just came out in 2020, so late 2020, so that was not too old, at least.
Very nice.
So yeah. I love just the variety of games we get these days. I mean, there's so many different choices. I still want to play, I'm looking at my playlist here. Jupiter Hell. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, both Jim and I are very aware of your gaming habits, though. We see the little pop-ups on what I was playing.
I did have a stint there where I was going through a bunch of visual novels, and there were some actually surprisingly good ones. Like I was very surprised playing through a couple of them how attached to the characters I got.
You mean like in Big Titty Elf Breeder?
No, in acting lessons is one I put on.
Not that kind of visual novel then.
Well, it is, though. It is an adult visual novel, but it actually has really good characters and really good story. And I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll be vague, but there's a point in the story where something happens and I was actually in tears. Like I was genuinely upset about what happened because I had become so attached to the characters. And
Jim, you know how like you and I had those moments where we realized that like we should not attach our Amazon accounts to our wife's like ebook reader? then it just gets like flooded with like whatever their smut is that they're like reading for the day. Yeah, that's mellified like on his Steam list.
No, it's like it's like that meme, right? Where it's like, okay, I finally broke and I bought this porn game. And then you look and it's like 20 of your friends also in this game. It's like, yes. No.
Yeah, that is a great meme. I found that quite amusing. But like I said, there are good just because it's adult doesn't mean that it's just crap.
Sure. Right? No, I gotcha.
So not to say that most of it's not crap, because most of it is. I'll be the first one to admit. But there are some gems as well. So,
well, like Subverse. Have you played Subverse?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, see, that's a game that I don't have to be like iffy about admitting, you know, like, yeah, I played Subverse, because it's an actually damn good game and it's got some spice in it. But whatever, you know, I can skip that. Right. I'm a cutscene skipper. Sorry.
Mm.
It's like maybe I missed the point. Like, you know, I'm playing a hentai game and skip all the cutscenes. It's just like, just get back to the gameplay.
Well, hey, I you know, teach their own, right? Like I just like the fact that
there was also the Sunrider Academy strategy game, which I thought was interesting. You remember that?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it's like mecha in space.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I will drop the link in our private chat for the one that I'm referring to, Acting Lessons. But it's like $8 on Steam, right? And it was just, you know, kind of a neat little game. I mean, just good storytelling. So, you know, to me, like, that's one of my favorite things about games, is they're a way to tell a story. And games that do a really good job of telling a story are so compelling. I get into the story side of it, I guess. So, at any rate,
so just trying to give you a hard time. That's all.
I've been playing a lot of Guild Wars 2 lately.
Yeah, I jumped in on that with Theo for a little bit.
Yeah, you should jump back in, because I've leveled up a ranger. Like, I think I'm like level 60 now, so I'm getting close.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at 60, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good time, right? Like, I'm kind of over it with the main world, and I'm like looking forward to finally hitting 80 so I can get into the expansion content.
Yeah, I've got both of the expansions, so.
Yeah, because from what I understand, it's like it gets more interesting there. Because I remember back whenever Guild Wars 2 first came out, and the challenge was in just the normal leveling, right? And it was kind of like WoW back in the day, where it's like, oh, I got to level 10, it took a week, right? And then it's like, oh, I got to level 10, it took about an hour, is like the way it is today, right? And it's kind of the same deal. Like, they've sped the pace up a lot.
Well, that used to be for sure, because like when WoW was starting to get to like 160 levels, right? Like, you know, it to get to like 10 and 20, you could get to 20, you know, in an afternoon if you worked at it, which was funny because that's like the level cap for like the free play. Right. And then you're like done. But then they did the compressing. And so then they compressed everything, and it's just like, oh, crap. You know, so now I think, you know, it's a little bit tougher, but it hasn't changed as much.
Right. Yeah, but the acceleration is definitely there. Like, I'm not getting killed a lot. And it used to be like, oh, no, I pulled and I got a bad pull and I got two monsters instead of one. Now I'm dead, right? And it ain't that. So, and I think a lot of that comes with the whole, like, making MMOs more of a solo experience. And then it's like, oh, well, I only need other people if I'm doing a raid or something. Yeah. Dungeons just aren't really a thing in Guild Wars. I mean, they're there, but nobody does them. I've sat in the dungeon finder queue for a while and just not gotten anything. So I think like everybody's doing like the instanced fractals is what they call them, which is kind of like mini raids. It'd be like in Destiny 2, you know, how they have the strikes. It's kind of like a strike. It's just like instead of a raid with a bunch of bosses and stuff, it's just like a boss. But again, I got hit 80 before all that opens up.
One other thing that I did do, Amazon had a sale on the Stream Deck XL. I have the original Stream Deck and quite liked it, but I always felt like I was running out of space for buttons.
You're talking about the Steam or the Stream?
Stream
Deck. Gotcha. God, that's so confusing.
Yes. The Stream Deck is just a bunch of buttons that you can assign to do different things on your computer.
Right. Yeah, so does the XL one have like actual knobs and stuff, or somebody made one that's actually got not just buttons, but it's got knobs on it, and it looks like
AverMedia did one that has a bunch of knobs and stuff as well as the buttons. The Stream Deck XL is just more buttons. So it's 8x4 grid, where the original was 5x3. So you get almost twice as, or like twice as many buttons. More than
twice have you ever tried using it in a game? Is a controller.
I have, and it didn't work real well, but I didn't spend a lot of time messing with it.
Oh, because I was thinking for like flight sims or playing Elite for those five people that are still playing Elite Dangerous.
There is actually Star Citizen turned me on to Game Glass, which is a app that you run on your PC that connects to a tablet or phone. And you get a bunch of buttons. And with Star Citizen, it's nice because it has like their themed dashboards for the different modes of play. So if you're on the surface, you get a different dashboard than if you're flying, than if you're fighting, space combat and things like that. But it's very manual. Like you have to switch between these different views yourself. It's doing is pushing keyboard combos for you.
You want to go check on your rooster? He seems a bit riled up.
he's out there yelling at somebody. I don't know. So anyway, I feel like nobody's really nailed it yet, because what you really want is the game to have a hook where you can send commands directly into the game, not doing keyboard emulation.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you remap your keys, then you break the third party integration stuff. So I don't know, but the Stream Deck has been nice. I've got all my game launchers on one of the screens. I've got my I run HW Info 64 for all of my like system stats, temperature and load and all that fun stuff. So with the Stream Deck, I could only do CPU. Right. On the Stream Deck XL, I have each core as a separate graph, which is kind of cool. So I can see, you know, where it's busy and where it's not busy, things like that.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, have you played Sword Art Online Fatal Bullet?
I have it. I have never actually played it.
You should play it. It's actually quite good.
I've heard that, and there's the sequel too, that came out just recently. I haven't tried that one either.
I didn't know there was a sequel to it. Interesting.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Alakazation or something. It's a really weird word.
I thought that was just a regular Sword Art thing, because the Fatal Bullet is like the Gun Gala game, so they're not in like sword and sorcery Final Fantasy land. They're actually in like Call of Duty MMO, right? And I played a lot of it over the holidays, and I was kind of taken with it, because it's like a simulated MMO, but then, you know, like of course all the other players are bots and NPCs and whatever, right? But they but the story that you like from the whole visual novel thing is going on in here. And so it's basically like a bunch of people that all play this game together, and you know, things that go on, right? Like there's a particular piece of equipment that you've got, and one of the other players wants it, so he's like a creepy ass and just keeps like showing up to attack you, you know, stuff. Yeah, so there's an anime that's attached to it, which is Gun Gala, that's on Netflix. The problem that I have with the anime, which could be a really cool anime, except that the character that's in it, she's like an adult woman, and then in the game she plays this it's like the, what do I want to call it, like she's like a very young girl, right? But she's kind of like a lolly in the game, and the voice actress, whatever, I don't know why they think that people want anime girls to sound squeaky like a mouse, like freaking like fingernails on a chalkboard, right? But it's just like, I just really can't watch the anime because I can only take like an episode of that voice, and then I'm ready to scream. But the story in the anime is really cool, actually. And it's not like the original Sword Art Online was like all these kids and like launch day, and they get in this new MMO thing, and then it's like, haha, we have actually hacked the MMO, and if you try to take the helmet off, you'll die, and if you die in the game, you die in the real world, right? So it made it a little spicy. Well, this is like an anime that is in a game that happened after that, right? Like everybody got out of the game and it's cool. And like, you know, only like 400 players actually died from the thing. And I'm thinking like the improbability that this technology would continue to be in the consumer space after 400 people died because somebody hacked the headsets. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, that seems a little unlikely, but sure.
Yeah. It's like, welcome to Metaverse. But anyway, it's a pretty cool game though, and the way that they've structured it, it's like, you know, you have a town and like a guild that you hang out with and stuff, and then it's like, okay, choose who your party is going to be, and you know, like put other NPCs with you, and then you're going to go and do this quest, and then you teleport into the world, right, and then like fight the thing. So it's neat how it's structured like that. And because it's a game inside of a game, it can get away with being a lot more gamey because it's just like, well, hey, it's a game, right?
Right, right.
And yeah, so it's it made me want a Call of Duty MMO, right? Because it's just like, okay, I have an AK-47 and I'm running around, but then I can also like chug potions and do special attacks, and you know,
well,
my gun's a little
what
bit
was
magic-y.
It? What was it? Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, whatever. Where it was just like, this would have been great as like a larger RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also the thing of like, there's monsters in there, so it's kind of like a monster hunter. You know, it's like I'm in the desert hunting giant robot scorpions with my AK-47 because I need to collect 10 scorpion tails. Awesome. Right, I'm cool with that, as opposed to like, well, Call of Duty, we have to be like realism and whatever. It's like, no, man, it's a game. Just let the game admit that it's a game, and just go gamey as fuck. You know, that's fine. Yeah, and yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it. It's
realism in games can be overdone to the point where it's not fun. And I think for me, a lot of the survival crafting games fall into that. That trap. And I think it's okay for a game to just be a game if that makes it more entertaining. That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's been a little bit of what we've been playing or want to play or looking forward to play. So I think we can probably wrap it up here.
You don't own Sword Art gun thing, right? Fatal Bullet, do you, Hunter?
I don't think so.
Oh. Okay, I thought about gifting it to you over the holidays because it got down to like $7 or whatever. It's got co-op in it, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, I can double check my inventory, but I'm not entirely sure if I have it. Yeah,
because it's like full price, it's like $40, and I wouldn't pay that for it. But if it drops down to like under 10, it's a get.
All
but
right,
Mel, you got it. You should fire it up. We'll co-op it.
Alrighty, guys. Well, come on over to our Discord and check it out at discord.otherworlds.gg. We've got a lot going on over here. Plenty of games to be had and hangouts to do. We've got a couple of game servers going on, like a Minecraft server and whatnot. So, pretty good environment over here, family friendly. So, Mel's kids play with us from time to time too, which is a good time. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of fun over here. I think that'll do it for this episode, and this has been episode number 45. See y'all next time.
Yeehaw.